Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
And hope to fight to stay turned back to a higher mountain, feel the ground below. Oh, we're the young men who started out with the young men.
right. Well, I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Okay, now let's get into the first message. Okay. Oh no, I'm sorry. Okay, let's get into a prayer. Okay, and then we'll go to the first message. Okay, please bow your head. Lord God, we thank you for the trust you have put into our hearts. Lord, we thank you for all the signs of your goodness that comfort us when we are in great need, Lord, and when many deaths take place around us and touch each of us, Lord. We thank you for comforting us, for always giving us fresh courage wherever we may be, Lord, and for giving us hope for other people, Lord, who also struggle hard to find what is good. Oh, Lord God, bless our world with power from on high, with your gifts that bring good to many people. Bless our world, Lord. Save it from sin, from ruin, from every kind of despair, Lord. Give your blessing, O Lord of God, as you bless us, so bless all the world to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, the first message tonight is a devotional called God Desires to Be Encountered. Okay, so let's get into it, and then we'll do the altar call, and then I'll take callers. Okay, it's vital to the Christian life that we, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, allow our affections to be stirred by a loving, powerful nature of our Heavenly Father. Too often we feel that God is distant or separated from us. Too often we allow misconceptions or lies to place a rift between us and experiencing God. It is reminding ourselves of God's character that lies are broken and a pathway is laid for us to encounter his tangible love. So open your heart and mind and receive fresh revelation of the goodness of God this week. Allow your affections to be stirred and your heart to be filled with desire to seek the face of your Heavenly Father. There is a misconception in Christianity that we cannot tangibly encounter our Heavenly Father. Often we're taught that we are too broken, dirty, or sinful to experience God. We're told that experiencing God is only for some people, or only for some nations and cultures. Or maybe as a result of lack of experiencing God in the past, we believe that we are made without something that allows us to encounter God. So maybe we believe that encountering God is for other people, but not for us. Nothing can be further from the truth. See, we encounter God because he desires to be encountered, not because we possess some special ability. We encounter God because he longs for us to know him, not because we are more holier than thou, okay, than someone else. You see, encountering God is entirely based on grace and love for us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 18, God promised us, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So all that is required of us is to experience God's time and energy set aside to seek him. So let the truth settle into your heart for a moment. Allow your beliefs about encountering God to be renewed by his word. You can undoubtedly experience a living, active, and most high God right now because he desires for you too. He longs for you to experience him. His greatest desire is for his children to walk in the fullness of relationship available to them. He gets excited about the idea of tangibly revealing himself to you. He is filled with joy at the idea that you will experience all the love he has in his heart for you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers or height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For Jesus did what no one else could. He made a way for us to tangibly experience our Heavenly Father. So nothing can separate us from the love of our Heavenly Father because Jesus has restored us completely into the fold of God. The curtain of the holies was torn in two. The manifest presence of God was released by the sacrifice of Jesus for all the children of God to experience. So what do you feel in the way of experiencing your Heavenly Father today? What past experience or present thoughts are keeping you from seeking God with all your heart? May Hebrews chapter 10:19-22 okay, guide you into a powerful encounter with your loving Heavenly Father, who desires for you to experience him today. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened us for us through the curtain, okay, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So firstly, meditate on God's desire for you to encounter him. Okay, Acts chapter 17, verses 26 to 27. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all faces of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they may feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. So secondly, reflect on your own life. What do you believe stands between you and experiencing your Heavenly Father? What sin do you believe that has separated you from him? What belief has kept you from seeking God? And what lie have you believed? Thirdly, allow Scripture to stir your confidence to seek the face of God. Believe Scripture over the past experience or beliefs. Okay, God desires you to seek him. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Okay, the enemy's greatest desire for those of us already saved is to keep us from walking in the fullness of what God intends for his children. Satan can't keep us from eternal life with God, but he can keep us from experiencing the abundant life available to us here. Okay, he knows God's greatest desire is for a relationship with us, so he will stop at nothing to keep God from having his desire satisfied. So may your life be one marked by the fullness of what's available to you in Christ. May you be a child of God who consistently and fully experiences the love of your Heavenly Father. I highly suggest that you read Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 34, that will bring this devotional moment to life for you. Amen. All righty. Well, let me ask you, okay? This is the most important question that I'm going to ask you. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to. So let me ask you, are you tired of living the way you are, not knowing which way is up or down? Your days are confused all the time. You may be lacking any purpose in life. Okay, or you don't know what your purpose is. Okay? Or maybe you suffer from a depression or anxiety. Okay, or maybe you suffer from something worse, as a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or sexual immorality, okay, or gambling or overeating. Whatever it may be, see, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, folks, guess what? He's got to know you. He can't do anything for you if he doesn't know you. So I'm asking you, are you ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gifts of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. All righty. Well, we've got callers on the line, okay? Let's take some callers. Let's push the one key. Let's see. 911. Okay. 911. Okay. Maybe he's okay, everybody wants to be echo. Okay, let's try one more. Okay. Well, let me take this call out 336. Okay, my brother Joseph, how you doing there?
Yeah, sorry, but obviously you're being attacked by trolls, but you talked a little bit about baptism, and I wanted to ask you some questions about baptism. We know the Catholics sprinkle you with water, and let's talk about baptism. You know, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But as far as baptism goes, you're to be submerged,
yes.
You know, not sprinkled with water, you know, well, Matthew 3:11 says, Matthew, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the most important verse that Jesus did teach was Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not love, not we can all get along, and as long as we love one another, we can heal the world. No. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you go to Acts 10:48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Okay, that disproves your Roman Catholic crap. Okay, right there. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were up opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. You know, and so therefore that disproves the Roman Catholic where they sprinkle you and say you're baptized. And Acts
right.
Also 8:38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. And he commanded to the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized them. All right. And Acts 10:47. Can any man forbid water that these should be not baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we, as well as we? And you know. So therefore, there's no sprinkling of the water, and you're saved. That's a message to the Roman Catholics out there that they think, yeah, you know, that you could be sprinkled. I just proved you wrong right there. See, the Bible answers itself. And gives you the answers, and it's very clear if you read the King James and rightly divide the word, excuse me, of God, and study to show himself as a workman approved unto God, you can rightly divide the word and understand the word of God and understand the Old Testament, the New Testament, and understand, you know, that today we live in the age of grace, and therefore we're saved because Jesus shed his blood for us. All we have to do, like you said earlier, is accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there's a time coming very soon when that's going to be over, and we're going to enter into a tribulation.
I know, that's why I'm trying to message and get it out there and get people to get to be saved. So, because, you know, like I said, we're entering the end times, okay? And
we see it happening many even on your radio show and my radio show. We see that man just cannot be reached today. And even if you hear it on my radio show, well, as long as we love one another, you know, we can outsmart God, you know, we can outthink God, and, you know, love is God. No, God is love, because if love was God, man would pervert it like he does, because there's no love. And you rightly divide your word, and you understand that God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also said he brings forth the sword, and he convicts you, and Paul convicts you of your sin. And we need to be convicted of our sin. And a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't understand what's happening here in America today. America is the last stand here on earth. And we see what's happening with Christians around the world today. We're being persecuted more and more, and now they're coming out with these red flag laws. They're going to red flag you if you're a Christian. And we talked about this before your phone died, these 501c3 fake pastors out there, 501c3 churches. We talked about this a few nights ago on your show. You know, you're making a deal with the devil. And that's what you're doing. You know, Jesus made no deals with Pontius Pilate. He made no deals with Caesar. Okay? Jesus said, if that's what you say I've done, then that's what I've done. You know, and a lot of people don't understand the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, a lot of people say, well, men wrote that book. Well, look, we have physical evidence. You know, we have manuscripts that date back all the way to Jesus' time. Okay, and all you have to do is read those manuscripts and understand them. And there's seven translations of the Bible. And the seventh and final translation, which was prophesied in the book of Daniel, was the English version, which was prophesied in which was foretold to come about in the year 1611. And if you take 400 years from 1611 to 2011, you know, we start going into the end times. And you got to remember, I've always said this also on your show, a generation in the Bible, a generation. What does the book of Matthew say? When the apostles came to Jesus and they said, when will all these things come, you know, to happen? He said, remember, when the fig tree puts forth leaves again, and we know the fig tree is the land of Israel, okay? And the fig tree put forth leaves again, and the nation was reborn again in the year 1948. So a generation in the Bible, if you study your Bible and you know the Bible, a generation is usually 70 to 100 years. So let's take 100 years from 1948. That brings us to 2048. Do you really think here in 2019 this world is really going to stand up and hold up together until the year 2048? For goodness sake, people are calling for the end in the next couple of years. But we don't know the hour or the day, but we know the season, like Paul said, and the end is coming. And like you say always on your show, and like I always tell you, look, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fine. But what do you got to lose? If Jesus was alive, then he was the greatest lie ever told. More good came from a lie than any other time in the history of mankind. All right? And I don't want to hear women are going to rule the world and all that. Yeah, in the end times, women will rule over their men. We know that. And you see that happening more and more. Okay? So the simple fact of the matter is a lot of people just don't understand the Bible. They don't get it, and that's fine. But understand this. We are marching forward into a new world order, and we're in big trouble. You know, the human race on planet Earth is in big trouble. And wars, rumors of wars are happening, earthquakes in diverse places. Look at the record. Look at the number of tornadoes from 100 years ago compared to today. Look at the number of hurricanes. Look at the devastation and destruction. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes, but we deny it. Oh, it's climate change. It's global warming. You really think man is going to change the climate? Come on. You know, it's not going to happen. All right? Just like in the days of Noah, You know, we're going to be eating, drinking, having fun, marrying, having fun, going to our parties, laughing and cheering, thinking nothing's going to happen, and the government's going to save us, and love is going to cure the world. And we tried that in the 60s, and we saw how well that worked out, you know. But, you know, and sudden destruction is going to come upon us. When they preach peace, 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 and safety, you know, sudden destruction comes, and that's in the book of Isaiah. So, you know, the Bible tells us all these things, and all you have to do is rightly divide the word of God and understand the word of God. And I understand you probably got maybe some trolls here who probably want to attack me here tonight, but this is not what the show is about. We're here to spread the word and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. Yes. With that being said,
Pastor Ken, real quick, I just want to let you know, Dr. Peter Ventura visited me here in North Carolina today. We went out to breakfast. He was traveling on through. We hung out all day today. And the trolls that threatened to kill me, they were nowhere to be found. But, Dr. Peter Ventura drove in last night. We had dinner last night. We had breakfast today. And we went out and hung out together and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a few people, had a lot of conversation together, and he's on his way to Florida now. But, Dr. Peter Ventura was here with me today, and I just wanted to mention that real quick.
Oh, that's wonderful, because Sunday I wasn't feeling well, okay, so I laid down, and I didn't get a chance to hear your Sunday show live, so I listened to it today. And it was really a really great show, very, very diverse, okay?
I'm glad you bring that. Yeah, and isn't that interesting? You know, they call me a racist. They call me a lover of black people. They call me a homophobe. They call me this. They call me that. They call me a fake Navy SEAL. They call me a snitch. They call me everything in the book, like they did the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fine. But like you just said, what did I have on my show on Sunday night? I had a very diverse crowd all having a conversation with each other, did I not?
Yeah, and it went together pretty well, you know, except for a couple of times, okay, Mandelicon jumping in. But, I mean,
yeah.
Other than that, you know, it went together pretty smoothly.
And you heard Mandelicon, and what did Mandelicon say if you listened to the show? He said, I challenge any woman. And if any woman comes on this show, I'm a liar. Well, what did we have, Pastor Ken? We had women call in at the end of the show,
women, didn't
we? Yeah. All right. So the devil is always proven to be a liar. You know, the devil's children are insane. Now, am I calling Mandelicon a devil? No. I'm just saying that God blesses, you know, you have to understand, blessings will come your way. You stand up against people, God's word always proves to be true in the end. And what happened on that show? We had women call in, and a lot of women agreed with what I had to say. We had a few doubters there, but we still had a great show with a very diverse crowd from all people, all different type of people. Even the Antichrist called in and said they were going to kill me. But at the end of the day, at the end of the show, and at the end of the show, they couldn't find any words because God shut them up. God shut them up, didn't he? You know?
Yeah. Evidently, he dropped, and you know, I mean, if you believe what you're saying, you should you should have stuck around so he can have some final thoughts.
Yeah. And I always do that on my show. I give people final thoughts. And the thing of it is that what the message that we're bringing, God's not going to bring us down. Look, we're all sinners. Look, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner, God, Pastor Ken. You know that. But I'm willing to forgive all sinners out there. What did I say on the show? I'm willing to forgive you for what you have to say. You know, and the thing of it is, you see, God shut everybody up. So, and that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to defeat Satan in the end. Not by a sword, not by guns, not by a nuclear bomb. He's going to defeat them through what? The word. The word.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that's so true. Okay? That's so true. Well, anyway, listen. I want to play a couple. I want to play a couple songs, okay? And then Tony's going to come in and do the Bible reading. So, and then we'll bring you back on, okay?
Real quick, I just wanted to ask you: did Tony Talk have a show? Real quick, I mean, not to get off topic here.
Yeah,
did he have a show last night?
Yeah, he had a show last night. It was at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Madeline Mitten evidently called in wanting your phone number. But he told Madeline Mitten, why would Joseph Gibson want you to call him? He's gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, it's interesting that everyone talks about you and me on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know what? If they're talking about us, remember, the world hated Jesus first before they hated us, right?
Yep. That's so true. Okay, well, sit back and listen to some music. And I'm going to play a couple songs. And like I said, I'm going to bring Tony on. Okay?
All righty, brother.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Let's see. There we go. I'm going to bring Tony F. on, and he's going to bless us with the Bible reading. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Hi, y'all. Here we are again. Long time since I saw you last, over 48 hours. Thank you for welcoming me into wherever you're at this evening. Just a few little things before I continue on with the Bible reading. I want to send a little message out to Brother Joe, who's in the chat room. I really don't think Ken should have been telling you what was said about you last night on other shows. You know, just the fact that you were talked about should have been sufficient. He didn't have to go into detail. We're trying to run a godly show and not the drag queen gossip hour. So, we're going to move on from there. We're going to go to Judges 17. Now, there was a man. I'm having trouble with the computer again. Give me a second. Now, there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Meshach. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me. I took it." And his mother said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my son." So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son, to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you." Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Michah. Now Michah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, and he was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" And he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me, and be a father and priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance." So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest." In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to him, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they had recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord will be with you on your way." So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there and how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Scythians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from Scythians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on this earth." And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kiriath Jearim in Judea. Therefore, they call the place Mania Dan to this day. There it is, west of Jerimon, and they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, a household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now, therefore, consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, and the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It is better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel." So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life, with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priest who had belonged to him, and they went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon. They had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manish, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Amen. Now, I think you can kind of look into what I just read and see that that's kind of what's going on in this world today. People are no longer listening to God. We're doing what we want to do. We're doing what we think is right. And it's happening all over our country. It's happening all over the world. Everybody's doing what they want to do, saying what they want to say. It doesn't matter anymore. But as we know, the end of days is near. So now I'm going to leave you with a word of worship from Psalms 37, 23, 25. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Amen. So before I leave you tonight, guys, thanks for letting me in, for letting me share the Bible with you, from the Bible as it was written, through my lips to your ears, the way it was meant to be shared. Leave you a little darker tonight, Proverbs 11:24. "There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." And there you are. I will see you in 24 hours, same godly time, same godly channel. Till then, may you rest in peace, and the Lord keep you in his hands.
Amen. Amen. You did a really, really great job on Bible reading.
Well, thank you much. I'm having a little trouble with this sore throat, but we're doing all right.
Amen. All right. Okay. All righty. I just got a message from Guess Who, in memory of Pastor Ken. Okay, GRM will arm Abba's Rainbow Ministries. There's no Abba's Rainbow Ministries. It's God's Rainbow Ministries, not Abba's. So, there. Okay? Stop trying to steal people's ministries, okay, Pastor Kent. Okay? Don't bring Joseph back on. Okay, hey, Joseph, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've been listening patiently. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it. I really do. That in memory of Pastor Ken, it's just a distraction what a lot of these people do. And you know I get attacked so much on my show. And, the bottom line is this. You know, it's not about the money we have. It's not about who we think we may are. I think Tony there sums it up very well with his Bible reading. You know, we're trying to out. What thanks do we give to God today? If we have no, we're losing our fear of our Creator, and that's really the problem with mankind. And a lot of people see, because we have so much today. And not to just talk about America, but look at the founding fathers. They had what? Their farms. They didn't have flat screen TVs. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have credit cards. They didn't have nice four-wheel drive pickup trucks. They didn't have fancy cars. They didn't have nice clothes. They just had their families, their farms, their livestock, and they worked the land. And they didn't have all these distractions that we have today. And that's one of the problems that we're facing here in the times in which we live in today, is that we don't have any fear of God because we think we're more powerful than God. Like I mentioned earlier, we're gonna stop the global warming. We can create bombs that'll wipe out the world. Or the government's gonna protect us. Back then, years ago, we didn't have that. Now people say, let's not get into the slavery crap and all that other nonsense and the discrimination. And what I'm just trying to say is, even back then, you look at most of the slaves from that were in America at that time. They were their families were God-fearing families, even though they were in bondage and slavery. Because they had nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't have, look at the women back then, the black women and the black men back then, they still had faith in God. Blacks weren't allowed to worship with whites back then, but they still worshiped. Why? Because they had fear of God. They had that fear, and today we're losing that fear because like Tony just said there, we think we can outsmart God. We have nice houses. Even if we're broke and we don't have any money, we still look at us. Look at Sheetz gas station. Look at the ShopRite. Look at Kroger's. Look what man has created. We got it all. Airplanes. Bombs. We can outdo God. And the thing of it is that and. Man has created this, and it's just like you go back to the story of Adam and Eve. They had it all, but yet what happened? Eve obviously was deceived, and she didn't consult her husband. And I'm not saying Eve was the downfall of man, but what I'm trying to say is that Adam, they didn't consult the Lord. The Lord gave them paradise. They were able to walk with the Lord because God created man in his own image and he created woman. And the fact of the matter is that they had it all. But what did they do? What does the Garden of Eden story say? What have you done, Adam? What have you done? I give you everything. I created you. It's just like you as a human being. Just say, for instance, you create something or even – if you, you know, even as little as a child or whatever, you give your child everything, and your child betrays you. It happens every day. And what do? You still love that child, but that child must be held accountable. And that's really the story of the Garden of Eden, and that's really the story of Adam and Eve. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, because we think we can outsmart God. And like I just said, you have a child, what happens? Well, you know, he disobeys you, you know, but you still love him. I mean, it wouldn't it be, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of people don't get that. You still have to have love for your neighbor. Even if your neighbor betrays you, you still have to have love for your neighbor. And that's where forgiveness comes in. And that's where the grace of God comes in and the love of God comes in. And a lot of people just don't understand that. They don't get it today because just like Tony just said, look, we're trying to outsmart God because we got all this. We got everything. I mean, look, man, we're better than the Garden of Eden today. We got paradise. We can have fun. We can do whatever we want to do. Who are you to judge me? You know, I'm better than everyone else, or I'm smarter than you, or you know what? I'm entitled to my opinion. You ever hear that one? That's a big one.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to my, you know what I mean? And that's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't get it. They don't understand. And if you humble yourself and you read the Bible and you rightly divide the Bible, you'll find, and like I just said earlier, we're all sinners. Doesn't matter if you're a homosexual, doesn't matter if you're an adulterer, doesn't matter if you're a murderer. But there's a way out of that because, you know, we're only temporary. There's one thing that none of us can argue with. All of us are going to die in the flesh one day. Whether you're 50 years old, 60 years old, 29 years old, 102 years old, we're all going to die no matter what. So there's nothing you can do about it. Man can't outsmart that, can he? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay,
so what do you do? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Back.
Go ahead, Pastor Ken. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know you're doing your show. Go ahead.
I have some more callers. I hope they're going to be decent and not going to be echoing callers. Okay, but I got to try to see if they're going to be echoing callers or not. Okay, 111, and you're on the air.
How you doing, Pastor Kane?
All right, how you doing there, my brother Juan?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm not the type of person that calls in too much, only when I think I have to put my foot down every now and then, you know that, or when I call to show appreciation. But one thing that I find almost insulting, Pastor Kane, is that, it ain't no secret, your better half or your other half is Catholic, right?
Right.
He's a proud Catholic, and I just don't like the fact that this man goes out of his way to insult the Catholic religion. I think it's a slap in the face to you and to Tony F. Now, you talk about being brothers. I've never once heard him say, hey, you know what? Let's all hold hands. Let's talk about this together. Let's unite to Christ. I never once heard him say that. And I think that's disrespectful to you. I don't like that. I don't like the way he goes about trying to take over your show. I don't like how he disrespects you or Tony Ann because, you know, he's over here insulting him. Then he talks about his good message, which it was a good message. I agree with that. It was a good message. And then I don't know too much about the Bible, but I know enough to know that, you know, that God is love and that there are Bible verses saying that. John 4:18, there's plenty of. Well, you know that. I don't got to tell you that. You're a pastor. But yet this man gets on the phone and says, that's not what God said. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it's about. If God ain't love, I don't know what is. You know what I'm
saying?
But
God also said vengeance is mine, and we can all hold hands. That's fine, but I'm not going to worship your God because that's idolatry. That's false. That's idol worship. I'm not going to worship your Roman Catholic Pope. because your Pope is an abomination.
Did I or anyone say that I was Catholic or that to worship the Pope?
Well, you were standing up for the Catholics, and you were saying I was criticizing the Catholics. I think a lot of Catholics are good people, but you know, good intentions pave the roads to hell. You know, so it's simple as that. You know, there's one way to believe. Simple as that. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." It doesn't say I am the way through the Pope. You know?
Okay. Well, here I'm gonna use another example, one that you use. All right. You done compare yourself to God and Jesus, saying, "Well, you know, Jesus was attacked. Jesus was this. Jesus was that. Just like I was. Just like Joseph Gibson was." Well, guess what? Guess what Joseph Gibson does when he gets on the show? He attacks the Catholics. Same way Jesus was attacked. That's what Joseph Gibson's doing. All right. That's what you do.
No, I expose the Catholic. I expose the Roman Catholic Church. I don't attack individual Catholics.
Well,
what I try to do is educate the Catholics. There's no purgatory.
I bet the Jews thought they were exposing Jesus too, right? I bet the Jews thought they were exposing Jesus too, just like you're exposing the Catholics, right?
No, that's not true. Right? That's not true at all. What you're doing is you're preaching. No, you said that. I'm not attacking any individual. What I'm trying to do is bring people to the
You're
Lord
not.
Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Man. Well, I hate to see what you look like when you're attacking someone, man.
I just explained it to you. I'm not attacking any individual. I'm trying to. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." What I just said again before you interrupted me, it's not through the Pope. The Pope can't save anybody. That's false doctrine. And we know where the Roman Vatican Church will rise again. That's where the false prophet will rise from. Read the book of Revelation.
I guarantee
it very clearly.
No one thinks in the Catholic religion that's the case. Now, the stuff get misinterpreted?
It doesn't matter what they think, and it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, because it only matters fact is what the Bible says and what Jesus said. That's fact.
All right. Okay. Wait. I guarantee you, whatever religion you're on or whatever religion
Mark chapter 13, brother, call no man father upon earth because there's only one father in heaven.
Can I finish a sentence? Can I give my rebuttal here? I mean, damn. Can I?
No, don't damn. Don't damn. We're not damning anybody here.
Juan, go ahead. Joseph, let him speak. Go ahead, Juan.
Look, I don't claim to be a religious man. I don't claim to know everything. But what I am saying is I know when someone is wrong, and I know when someone is speaking ungodly. I mean, that's just not right. I mean, there's a lot of people in your religion that are racist.
I don't have a religion, sir.
Okay,
I
believe the same thing you do.
Hello,
and
guys.
That's not right.
Can I get in here and say something just real quick? Juan,
go ahead.
I really appreciate what you're saying, and I thoroughly agree with you on a lot of things. I also agree with a lot of things that Joe has to say. As a Catholic, though, I want you to realize that the Bible does say that the Antichrist will be somebody who charges the masses. He'll be able to communicate with the masses in their own languages. And unfortunately, the Pope fits that description. A lot of Catholics believe that. So what Joe is saying is correct. That is what the Bible says. The Catholic religion will rise again, but we will give birth to the end. It's that simple.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, a lot of people thought John F. Kennedy was the Antichrist because he was Roman Catholic and he was the commander-in-chief of the greatest nation on earth.
They fought.
Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Well, you're thinking it's the Pope. All I'm saying is everybody's thinking.
I didn't say the Antichrist was the Pope. I didn't say the Antichrist. I said the false prophet will rise from the Vatican Church. The Roman Empire will rise again in the book of Revelation. Read The Woman That Rides the Beast by David Hunt. Very inspiring book that exposes the Jesuit
and the Roman. I prefer to read the Bible.
Well, it gives you scripture.
I'm going to read the Bible.
Okay,
because now you're worshiping false prophets there by reading other people's books. All right? And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying you're not right. That's all I'm saying. And y'all know what I'm talking about.
Okay, okay, I got to take some more callers here. Okay?
Okay.
We got another caller from 111. Okay? Nobody. Okay.
Hang on, Pastor Ken, if I may, the Catholicism is the biggest enemy to Christianity because it poses a Christian denomination. Catholicism is not a different denomination.
There you go again.
Catholicism is a false
religion.
You're talking about, can I give you Bible verses to back up what I'm saying? Because you said you read
the
Bible.
No, you know what?
Read Matthew chapter 23. You said you read the Bible and you only go by the Bible. Go to Matthew 23:5-10. Okay.
No,
they
Joseph,
do
that's
all their
not
deeds.
What
they,
I said.
No, 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 no.
I said, if I'm
yes,
gonna
you,
read
you
books,
said you read
if
the Bible.
I'm gonna obey the Bible. I didn't say I read the Bible. I said if I'm gonna read books, it's
yes,
gonna be the Bible.
You said, I only follow the Bible.
Okay,
that's
you know
what
I said.
I'm trying
right,
to give
you
biblical
words
verse.
In my mouth. You asked me to read a book from something else, and I told you if
I'm
going to read the book,
I'm giving you a reference
the Bible.
Or a commentary series.
And the first thing I said was, I ain't godly. I don't know the Bible. I don't claim to know the Bible.
Well, I'm trying to teach you the Bible,
right,
sir.
I know what's wrong.
We're trying to teach you the Bible.
I'm not. There's no way you're going
to
teach me the Bible.
Then you're a heretic, sir. You're a heretic. Very simple.
Look,
you're
Joseph,
a heretic.
Joseph. Can I say three
Matthew
words?
Matthew 23, 5,
10. Can I get three words?
Let
me get three words. No, let me get three words. Let me say something. Let me talk.
But you're not. All right, whatever.
Let me talk. Well, come on. Let me talk. Can I say something?
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thank you. Very polite of you, kind sir. I am not going to take any Bible lessons from you, Joseph Gibson. There is no way I would do that because if you're a representation of a good, godly man, then that's not right in my book, and that's not what
I want to do. Okay, all right. Well, I'll answer that then because you just made a comment.
Well,
if you're trying to maintain your relationship with God by faith and works, Galatians 3:10 says
you
will be
cursed. I'm going to interrupt you. You got to let me finish, man. I'm trying to make a point here. Got to let me finish. And then I promise you I'll be quiet for 60 seconds and let you talk. Okay?
Okay.
I try to get everybody's opinion, all right? I done called your show. I've listened to Pastor Ken's show. I don't call in all the time, but I've listened to Pastor Ken a lot. I think I've called your show once or twice. I know I have. And, heck, I've even called a neo-Nazi show. Heck, you know the one I'm talking about, the one you and I both call. I think you called the day before. I was listening to that one. Then I called the next day, and I participated, right? Now, that man claims to be a religious man, but he's a neo-Nazi, right? Claims to love Jesus and God. Quotes the Bible. Very, very educated man. But he don't think people of different races should be together. Now, when I went back and listened to the show and you agree with him, that's not godly to me. I think we should all live in unity. The fact that you agree with him and think the other way, I don't think that's in the Bible. Now, if you could tell me that, that's fine. Now, that verse I will look up where it says that black people, brown people, white people shouldn't live together and all that good stuff.
I never agreed with that at all.
I want to see that Bible. Well, you agree with that man, sir. So
No, I didn't. But anyway, let's get back to Catholicism. You said you'd make a comment and then you shut up for 60 seconds. Catholicism teaches salvation by faith and works.
Comment.
All right, go ahead. Finish, sir.
So
you're jumping all around the table. Let's stick to Catholicism because that's what you originally called in about.
Look. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're attacking Catholicism, and you're attacking Tony F because he's Catholic. All right. I'm 1/8 Catholic, and I'm 1/4 Southern Baptist, and I'm going to tell you everything else I am because you wouldn't believe it. But I'm going to tell you this much. You don't got to preach and offend the Catholic religion to me. That's not what I'm here for. You're barking up the wrong tree. You can do whatever you want. You start talking about Catholic religion, I won't hang up, to be honest with you, because I won't hear about that. I want to talk about how you're going to be a better man, how you're going to repent. That's it. I mean, if that's what you're going to talk about, fine. But if you're going to keep attacking someone, people, then, man, you just proved my point. But go ahead, sir. I'm done.
All right. Well, I'm not attacking. Well, like I'm trying to do is I was trying to teach you about Catholicism.
I'm not hearing anything back.
Yeah, so you're not letting me finish now. I let you finish.
Well, someone's got to say road tied back to me. That's disrespectful. Someone's got to say road tied back to me.
Nobody has to say anything. I say amen to the Lord
Pastor
Jesus
Ken,
Christ.
Road tied. Road tied, Pastor Ken.
Road tied.
Road tied. Okay, now will you shut up and listen, please? We said road tied, okay?
Now I'll be
you
quiet.
Said you'd
you
shut
don't
up.
Tell me to shut up. I'll be quiet, God dang, man.
Well, then be quiet, then. Hey, why are you saying, why are you damning God? You see, you're obviously a heretic, and you don't know what
D.
you're talking about.
I didn't use the hard D.
You just said God damn. That's what you just said. And why would you damn
God
on a show like this?
God.
That's
I
what you
God.
Just said, sir.
I said God.
Yes, you did.
I didn't use the hard D.
Anyway, can I answer his question about Catholicism without him interrupting? All right, Catholicism teaches salvation. All right, in the Roman Catholic and Catholicism, Canaan, verse 9, it says, if anyone saith that by faith alone the impenuous is justified, let him be damned. That's what it says, okay? And CCC 846, basing itself on Scripture and tradition, the council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. Okay, and I can go on and on about Catholicism because I've studied it for many years and world religion. But there's one verse that very simplifies this, and that's by the King James Bible. If you're trying to maintain your relationship with God by faith and works, Galatians 3:10 says you will be cursed. The reason is that you are not obeying everything. Faith is a gift of God. It is all by His grace. God desires perfection, and that is why we must trust in the perfect merit of Jesus Christ. Simple as that. And if you don't believe me, go to Romans 11:6. It says, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. When you try to maintain your relationship with God by works, you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Romans 3:8 teaches us salvation by faith apart from works. This is a complete contradiction to Catholicism. Okay? So I answered your question, and if you want some more verses, you can go to James 2:17, James 2:14, Corinthians 5:17. Very simple. Or you can go to Colossians 2:14. You want to learn about the Bible? I'll teach you, my friend. I will teach you. Well, there you go, making funny noises. That's fine.
Well, I told you I wasn't going to listen to your type preaching about the Bible. You're wasting your time.
No, but
man.
You did say you would. You said you'd shut up for 60 seconds, and you're a liar. Every man's a liar. We know that. But you said you shut up, and you didn't. You made farting noises in the background. You're a liar.
Said you went
you're
on teaching about the Bible.
Repent,
now,
brother.
I
repent.
Said, I let you listen.
Repent. Repent, brother. That's all I can tell you. Repent.
Okay, let's take your own advice.
All right. Okay. Before this gets out of hand, my phone is about to die again, so I'm giving you all fair warning. Okay? Okay? If it goes out,
the
show's
over. You see what he's doing, Pastor Kent? You see what he's doing? He's making funny noises in the background, and that's what he's doing, you know?
I think that's you doing it. You do that all the time.
No, it's not me. I never do that on any show because I'm a podcaster. I deal with trolls like you all the time, so just knock it off, please. I'm asking you nicely. Please knock it off. You want to talk about the Bible, that's what I tried doing with you, but you kept with your road tie nonsense and you interrupted me when you promised
that's
you wouldn't.
That's not nonsense.
Okay? It is nonsense.
That's not
what
nonsense.
You're a heretic, sir. You're a heretic. And what does Paul say about heretics? Okay?
What does Jesus say about liars?
I'm not lying. I'm speaking the true word of God, and I tried to explain that to you and gave you
lying.
Verses to back it up.
Yeah. Whoever's making those farting noises, cut them off. That is ridiculous. These are grown
men.
Amen.
Notice it only happens when Joseph's talking because I mute myself.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He
but
didn't.
It happens, whoever it is, off.
Anyway,
okay.
Let's not get distracted from the Word of God. You see, that's what the devil does, Pastor Kent. That's what the devil's trying to do is distract us from, you know, he made some good points there, and then he made himself into a heretic right before you And all we're trying to do is win them over to Christ and teach them. But he is unwilling to learn. And that was one of my points earlier. And I think Tony made that point also. Is God thinks he's going to outsmart everybody, you know, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, we need a new battery for this phone. Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Okay, it doesn't keep a good charge. Thank you very much, Olo. Okay, yeah, we're gonna keep that under advisement to get a new battery. Okay, okay, it's just as soon as we can afford one.
If you contact me, Paris or Ken, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a new battery. Just give me the model number for your phone. Just I will send you one. And you know I always do what I say and say what I mean. So,
If
you got, you know.
Okay, I'll tell you all that information. Okay, I know it's a VTech phone. I don't have a model number, though. Is this a VTech phone that you can
Well, Pastor Ken, let me explain to you something right now, Pastor Ken. If you've listened to my show, when I was debating with Black Jesus Minister on my show, I sent him a brand new laptop so that we could do a show together. So let's put it that way.
Right.
You can go back 2.5 years ago, and he will openly admit that. So. You know, I don't have a problem helping people out who are willing to help themselves. But people that are not willing to help themselves, I call them heretics. And that's why I called that last gentleman a heretic, because he was not willing to listen after he promised he would shut up for 60 seconds. And then he started making farting noises in the background, you know?
Amen. Well, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in time now. I got 1 minute left of airtime, okay, because my shows are 90 minutes.
I can hear your phone battery dying in the background, actually. I can hear your phone battery beeping.
Yep, you can surely hear it. I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Okay, Lord God, you are our strength and shield. Our hearts hope in you, and we are helped, Lord. Accept us from among all nations as people who want to serve you. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, especially when we must be tested in every way and must face the many hardships that will come when we take up our task of proclaiming your name and witnessing to you, Lord. For you are strong and can protect us, Lord. You can fill us with light, joy to proclaim again and again, Lord, the salvation that is coming through your all-powerful goodness and mercy, salvation in Jesus Christ, the Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, we had an interesting show tonight. We've had a lot of people in the chat room. Okay, I want to thank all my callers that called in tonight. I want to thank you, my brother Joseph Gibson. Go ahead, Joseph Gibson, before we get off the air, go ahead and plug your show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, I always promote your show on my show, as always. But understanding the times in which you live in, today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken. I appreciate it, and hopefully you'll tune into my next show. Most likely will be Sunday night, but sometimes I do one on Saturday, sometimes I do one on Friday, but I'm always on Sunday, so hopefully you'll join me.
Yeah, hopefully I won't be feeling ill this Sunday and stay in bed all day, okay? And I'll get up and listen and call in your show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I want to say hello to Tony, too. Great message tonight, the Bible reading for Tony there. That was a great message that he did bring also when he reads from the Word of God, it's very inspirational. I just want to let him know that also.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Okay. We got a bunch of people in here. Well, okay, I want to say thank you, everybody. I love you. Okay, may God bless you. May you have a blessed night. Okay. May you get up tomorrow and have a blessed day in your journeys, whatever it may be. Okay. So, God bless. Have a good night. And until we meet again tomorrow night, okay, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for another great episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Amen. God bless you, Joe.
All right. Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.